it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
And my next guest is on X at Gerald Posner. He is award-winning investigative journalist and author of the book Pharma, Greed, Lies, and the Poisoning of America. So it's a perfect time to talk to him. Before, Gerald Posner, we get into the story that I sent you over the weekend. First of all, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming back, number one. And number two, absolutely, I wanted to get your take on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s hearing before the Senate last week, where he went after a number of Democrats and Republicans too for their for taking a lot of money from Big Pharma.
Well, you know, it was fantastic to see Bernie Sanders there saying nobody in this room has clean hands, and he's looking at himself. He's looking in the mirror as well. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, top Democrats, the top Republican senators who went after RFK Jr. They're all big recipients of pharma money. And look at what pharma's done for years. They've put more money into lobbying than just about any other industry. They've got a ton of lobbyists in Washington. Nothing wrong with that. Every industry can do it. But they are equal opportunity lobbyists, meaning that they buy key people on both sides of the aisle, so that in the past, they were able to be safe because no matter who became president in the Uniparty, if it was a Democrat or a Republican, they knew that on the whole, they would be treated with kid gloves. And now they have an administration in that's suddenly not treating them with kid gloves, especially with RFK Jr. So it's setting their hair on fire. You could see the pharma-laced attacks that took place in there. They, you know, there were like little speed bumps and hand grenades along the way from the senators. RFK's way of course, dealing with that was to fight everything tooth and nail. So it became a bit like professional wrestling. But in the whole, I don't know if it was that informative, but it was certainly interesting to watch because of the way that you knew pharma was behind the scenes.
Yeah, because the fact that Democrats don't want to work with the guy on anything, I mean, nothing, not making the food supply healthier, not dietary guidelines. I mean, it's just nothing. They just all out just go after the guy and obstruct.
It's so fantastic, Rich, because what they're doing, you know, they won't work with Trump on anything. So if Trump is for something, they're against it. But in this case, they're sort of throwing out this Hail Mary pass, and they're putting out these stories occasionally. Maybe Trump is sick of RFK Jr. Maybe he's going to get rid of him. They're hoping that Trump will do the work for them that they can't do. They're hoping that Trump will remove him as the Secretary of HHS, which he apparently has no intention of doing. He thought that the Senate hearing the other day that RFK Jr. did a very, very good job. So that's not going to work for them. They are not going to be saved by Trump on this particular thing. They're going to have to work with RFK Jr. And if they don't, they're just going to stand on the sidelines and complain about it. And, you know, they have to have a say. If they want to have a say in the development of these health policies, they've got to get into the HHS headquarters and talk to RFK Jr. because ignoring him is not going to do the trick.
Yeah, and I found it to be laughable that they're dying on this hill about recommending or not recommending COVID vaccines for kids when kids don't really get COVID. They don't get really sick of COVID. And I mean, parents can still give them if they want to. But I mean, just acting like it was the end of the world if kids were going to start dropping dead of COVID when, you know, the fact is that kids are not dropping dead of COVID. And so the vaccines, there's too many questions. There's too many risks. I mean, they stopped vaccinating kids in Europe during COVID because of the risks of myocarditis and other things like that.
And you know, it's so interesting to watch this because they, meaning the Democrats on the whole, are so afraid of admitting that there were errors made and that the government overreached on the COVID vaccines, because they are afraid that if they open the door by saying, by the way, we were wrong on the COVID vaccines, then it opens the door to everything else. And they're afraid there's a whole, they're going to deal with childhood immunizations. They're going to deal with what DeSantis is doing in Florida about whether you have the mandates on vaccines. So therefore, they defend it all, including the indefensible parts about the COVID vaccine in children. And it makes them look, people understand that that's just not right, and they lose their credibility.
Gerald Posner is with us, award-winning investigative journalist and author of the book Pharma, which is a must-read book, Greed, Lies, and the Poisoning of the American Dream. It's great to have him on the show today. So I sent you an article that is a local article that, or the Poisoning of America, excuse me, that is a local article that caught my attention over the weekend. It has to do with Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and it has to do with transgender services, this gender dysmorphia, and as I've always said, it's gender mutilation, and it's barbaric what they do to our children here, and a lot of it is pharma. It's poisoning our children by giving them puberty blockers. Now the feds are investigating these medical systems. So give us a little background, because I know you've been writing about this for a number of years now. Give us a little background into what the federal government is looking into.
Yeah. And, Rich, I have to say that, when you sent me that article, I had let my subscription to the Inquirer lapse. So I couldn't open up the piece at first. And then today I finally opened it up. And when I did, my wife, Tricia, was with me and she saw that steam was coming out of my ears and I was getting in a really bad mood. And she said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I can't believe this article in the Inquirer because it's written by two good reporters. And they've slanted the article so much that all it's about is sort of scare tactics about what would happen to children and parents. And it miscast what the Trump administration is doing. You ask the key question. What's happening here? In early July, on July 9th, the Justice Department issued subpoenas for 20 different hospitals, including in Philadelphia for Children's Hospital. And what they're looking for, I'll tell you the case they're trying to put together. They're trying to put together a case for False Claims Act against the physicians. That would mean that they're looking for evidence of miscoding in terms of what the items were listed for puberty blockers or for cross-sex hormones or for medical procedures. Is there miscoding or misspelling that took place? Was there informed consent by the children? They can't give it, but by the parents, did they understand what was really at risk here? Did they understand what was meant by the words, quote, gender dysphoria? And then finally, the issue of lack of medical necessity. If these procedures were not medically necessary, because the very basis of gender dysphoria is sort of a fake diagnosis in the end, then it becomes a False Claims Act, and the government can go after the doctors. But what did the two writers in the Inquirer piece do? They didn't make it about the doctors. They made it all about the patients, the children. And they raised the fears that, oh my God, we're going to be near Nazi Germany. This is what Nazi Germany did. They made lists of people. We're going to have lists of children made who were transgenders so they can go ahead and erase those children. They're going to bring criminal charges, says the article at one point, possibly against parents. Absolutely false. You know, when we had the abortion debates about whether abortion should be legal or not legal, the people who were for choice all the time for abortion up to the 9 month said they're going to criminalize it so that women who choose to have an abortion are locked up in jail. That's the same type of fear here. They're going to go after parents who allow their children to transition and put them in jail and go after them criminally. No one's even raised that. It's absolutely insane, but it's raised as a fear issue. And in this article, what was so particularly infuriating to me is that the reporters presented the options as though these are children who are choosing to make a transition because they have this gender dysphoria. And the choices they make, even though these medications are not approved by the FDA, are okay. And they use this word because they are reversible. And I have to tell you, Rich, they are 3, 4, 5 years behind the science. They have either decided not to keep up because for whatever reason they've been doing other stories and they failed to catch up, or they're not reporting it correctly because it doesn't fit with what their ideology is. And I'll tell you something. I wrote for the Wall Street Journal 3 years ago, The Truth About Puberty Blockers, and this is 10,000 adverse consequence reports reported to the FDA by girls who were given the very same drug that they're talking about, Lupron, in this article to try to make girls grow taller when they were short. And you know what? 10,000 different adverse effects, including thinning and brittle bones, teeth that shed enamel, cracked degenerative spinal disc, painful joints, radical mood swings, seizures, migraines, suicidal thoughts, fibromyalgia, and fertility problems. And the Inquirer doesn't report one of those, just says it's reversible. That article to me was dangerous.
That's why I sent it to you, because I wanted you to read it, because they were acting as if it was this choice between this slippery slope of having the kids reveal their sensitive medical data to the government or looking into what the doctors did. And I just knew something was off about this, and I knew that Jerrold Posner could sort it out for us.
Rich, one of the things that I think should be done, and one of the things I believe the Justice Department is doing, I hope they are, and I would be in favor of it, is in all of these subpoenas that they've given to hospitals around the country, including in Philadelphia, the patient information that they receive, because they want to know the age of the patient when the procedures were done and what it was, but it has to be anonymized. It has to be protected. So the patients cannot be disclosed in any of the information that goes forward in this type of litigation. Right. And the patient's identity should be protected. It can be anonymized, but the government needs to see what it is. Now, to tell you where the politics of this particular piece was in the Inquirer, what does it start with? It starts with a child who in second grade, the parents said, I knew that they wanted to be a different gender, as if you're born in the wrong body. That idea that you're born in the wrong body and therefore you have to change. Nobody's born in the wrong body. There are people that are born intersex and then something's done, but nobody's born in the wrong body. And this child who starts the entire piece is 7 years old at first when they first take over to doctors, 12 years old when they decide to put that child on puberty blockers, which has a whole litany of adverse consequences before it then goes on to cross-sex hormones. When you start a piece about pediatric gender care with that incident, which to me is something that is outrageous because the doctors are going ahead with a child who cannot make an informed decision about the lifelong consequences and sterility which they will be left. Boy, there's something wrong when you present that as the good opening story of your piece.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the piece was so biased. The entire thing was if it was written from the perspective, as if CHOP had written it and then sent it to the Inquirer and they just put their byline on it, because it was completely from the perspective of the people who are doing these procedures. What they leave out, of course, is how much money they're making. And since you are the author of the book Pharma, and you've looked into all these issues, not only from the pharmaceutical perspective, but from the perspective of how much these procedures cost and how much the healthcare providers, or I mean, I hate to use the word provider, healthcare in the same sentence here, but how much they're charging here. I mean, this is a $500 billion a year industry. And it's very important for people to know that. I mean, this is not just like charity care here. There's a lot of money attached to this.
No, absolutely. And people should know, by the way, and it's addressed in the article, that the drugs that are given to the children, puberty blockers, which block a child's natural. So boys are given a drug that will stop them from developing testosterone. Girls are given a drug that will stop them from developing estrogen. That drug, Lupron, that's the major one that's given, is not approved for that purpose by the right. FDA. It's right. prescribed off-label by doctors for that. Lupron, by the way, is the drug that is used for sex offenders to chemically castrate them. Mm-hmm. It is a drug that AbbVie, who is the manufacturer of that drug, is very happy to see it given off-label for this purpose. It's grown to $500 million and more in terms of this off-label. The cross-sex hormones are when you take a boy who's had the testosterone stopped, and you then start to administer estrogen, a girl's hormone, to that boy so they become more feminine. That's called the cross-sex hormone. Or you take a girl and you give them testosterone so that they start to become more masculine. Those are also not approved by the FDA for those purposes. They're off-label, but they've become a billion-dollar industry. So this process, and inside the Inquirer article, the reporter said, oh, by the way, the reason that's done is a lot of drugs are given off-label. True, but not with this type of damage for children. We right. should be particularly attuned to it. And in addition, irreversible, lifelong consequences, and worse than that to me, when you really look at it in this sense, is you're saying we can't do the testing because it takes too long. You mean to tell me that we can't do the testing on these drugs before the FDA and have clinical trials before we start to give children drugs that are going to alter their life for the rest of their life? They're not going to be able to come back. That's insanity.
And we're not even talking about the surgical procedures,
right,
that the amputations and everything else that occur, body parts that are also completely irreversible.
One of the things that's happened on this, Rich, is I've watched this take place over a period of time, is that the surgery that seems to be done before the age of 18, the most common of what I call the mutilating surgeries, believe it or not, is a surgery done by girls who are transitioning to what they call trans boys. They have a double mastectomy to have their breast off. Because the breasts are the marker to them that they are girls. They want to change. They believe they can. And so they take their breast off. Boy, I'll tell you, if you talk about a lifelong consequence, that's it right there. You're not coming back from that if you change your mind, if you then decide to detransition or whatever else. The doctors who do these types of surgeries, in many cases, knowing that there's now more of a microscope on what they do, save what I call the full surgeries, the full bottom surgeries and everything else, the castrations of the boys and that, until they're often 18. They want to be able to say, we're not doing it on minors. So there's a point at which there's sort of an upswing in the surgeries in the medical pipeline at 18, because the doctors want to get past that point of saying, oh, by the way, it's happening to children.
But, you know, the reality is that this entire industry is built on a house of lies. And I'm glad the Trump administration is looking into this, because these doctors are preying on people at some of the most vulnerable moments of their life. And it has to stop. So, Gerald Posner, thank you for making sense of it for us. And please, now more than ever, read the book Pharma, Greed, Lies, and the Poisoning of America. And follow Gerald Posner on X at Gerald Posner. And check out GeraldPosner.com. Thank you, my friend. Great having you today to start off the
week. Rich, and the Philadelphia Inquirer should thank you. They have one more subscriber today as a result of me having a look at that article.
Well, hopefully it's a free trial and you're not going to renew.
I wish. All right. Talk to you later. Thank you.
I'll see you, Gerald. Thank you.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't want to break his heart and tell him that at least this subscription is paid for by the company. One of the few perks we get here. All right, time to make our big announcement, because this makes me very, very happy. And this is our happy hour, so this is the perfect time to do it. And by the way, speaking of happy hours, speaking of September, make this a September to remember getaway at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where you'll enjoy room discounts of 10%, resort credits, and so much more. Just go on the website for all the details. And remember, you can also have an amazing event at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Thank you, Grand Hotel, for sponsoring our happy hour. All right, so the big announcement is our next Politics and Pints event is going to be... Drum roll, please. Do we have a drum roll?
One second.
All right, let's get your drum roll. Why not? Why not? We got a drum roll. We have a drum roll sound effect. You can look up in the queue, search for it. We can't spend... Oh, there we go. That was kind of an anticlimactic drum roll. I'm just saying. It's a little low energy.
it's the only one we have in the library.
All right, fair enough. Well, nevertheless, our next Politics and Pints. Drum roll, please. Go ahead. That is really that is not befitting of this guest. One. That is bad. I would rather you just tap your fingers on the counter. Yeah, that's actually more energetic than, you know what I mean? So not worth this man, this former Navy SEAL sniper, and international best-selling author. Of course, I'm talking about the one, the only, Jack Carr, Monday, October 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA, for his Cry Havoc tour, his newest thriller, Cry Havoc. And of course, Jack Carr events always sell out because he has a huge following, and it's going to be on Jack's website in addition to our website at 1210wphg.com, which means you want to get your tickets now before all these people that love Jack Carr but don't know who we are get the tickets and you're left out in the cold. Because that's what happens at all these events. And I get messages from people going, do you have any tickets left? And it's no, because Jack has fans all over. And so when he comes to a region, people that follow him wind up coming to the events. And then I go on stage with them, and they have no idea who I am. And they love him, but they're looking around like, who's this guy? So I want to make sure that we have not only Jack Carr fans, but Zioli fans there. That's why I need you there. So I hate using myself in third person, but you know. So that's why I need you there. So make sure you go to 1210wphg.com right now and get your tickets. Monday, October 13th, 7:30 p.m., the Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA. Cry Havoc is his newest installment in the James Reese saga, but what's interesting about this book, it is a prequel about James Reese's father, Tom Reese, and it takes place during Vietnam. It is a political and military thriller, and of course, Jack Carr's books are awesome. He's awesome. He's got the Terminalist series on Amazon Prime, and now the new prequel to the Terminalist, Dark Wolf, which is number one on Amazon Prime, number one show on Amazon Prime, Terminalist, Dark Wolf. So get your tickets today, 1210wphg.com, and join us for our next Politics and Pints, Monday, October 13th at 7:30 p.m. How about that? Woohoo. All right. Excellent. So in other news, we got a lot to get to. So President Trump went after Tim Kaine, that loser, for saying that our rights may not come from God, the creator. That's right. And I believe we have the clip from last week, Matt, right, of him saying that, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, we do. It's cut 14. It's Tim Kaine's statement and then Ted Cruz's reaction during the Senate hearing.
Fantastic. So let's play that. Cut 14.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
So Senator Kaine said in this hearing that he found it a radical and dangerous notion that you would say our rights came from God and not from government. I just walked into the hearing as he was saying that, and I almost fell out of my chair. Because that radical and dangerous notion, in his words, is literally the founding principle upon which the United States of America was created. And if you do not believe me, and you made reference to this, Mr. Barnes, then you can believe perhaps the most prominent Virginian to ever serve, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote in the Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their creator, not by government, not by the Democratic National Committee, but by God."
Meaning that rights can't be taken away by your government, because you have your rights. You are born with them. They are inalienable. And they can't be taken away by idiot pinhead lawmakers like Tim Kaine. That's the whole point. Or by kings, or by other communist lunatics like Bernie Sanders and Zoran Mamdani. They can't take away your private property without due process. They can't take away your life and your liberty without due process. Your rights are given to you by your creator. That's not what Iran believes. Tim Kaine is a doof, a total, total doofus. But man, what? I'm glad Ted Cruz brought up Virginia and Thomas Jefferson, because to think that that man represents Virginia in the United States Senate. Whew. So here's President Trump responding to that today as he was talking about prayer, and it was at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. This is cut number two from earlier today. Take a listen.
The need for this commission has never been more clear than it was last week when the ineffectual senator from Virginia, a man named Tim Kaine, stated that the notion our rights come from our Creator is, quote, extremely troubling to him. Very troubling. Isn't it troubling? Isn't it terrible, though? How he would say something like that, and advocated really by a totalitarian regime. This is what they say. But as everyone in this room understands, it is tyrants who are denying our rights and the rights that come from God. And it's this Declaration of Independence that proclaims we're endowed by our Creator with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The senator from Virginia should be ashamed of himself for many things.
But they don't believe you have any rights unless they give them to you. And of course, if they give them to you, they can take it away from you. That's how they view everything. You exist at the pleasure of government. And government will tell you what you can do, what to say, what not to say, what you can listen to, what not to listen to, whether you can protect yourself or not protect yourself. Government will decide all those things for you. And you'll surrender certain things for the good of the collective. You'll sacrifice individual liberty. You surrender your property, all for the good of the collective, because you have nothing but what you give up, what government tells you you have. That's what they believe. And that is their point. And they hate this idea that we say that rights come from the Creator, because that means then they can't be taken away by bureaucrats. And they don't like that. Because if they want to take away, say, part of my backyard for the good of the environment, they should just be able to do it. They want to take away my salary for the good of the collective, they should just be able to do it. And that's how they've always viewed the way of the world. And that's why they hate private property rights. That's why they hate the Second Amendment. That's why they hate the First Amendment. They don't like anything that empowers the individual and takes away from government. They've always believed that. And at the heart of it also is the reason why they're so hostile to religion and to anyone who believes in God in general. They're hostile to that because you need to be worshiping at the altar of government and only government. That's it. All right, as we continue here, let me tell you about my friends at Tri-County Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. I am so proud and honored that Brian Krieger and Cheryl Krieger, General Manager Jack Donaldson, they are the best. They are supporters of this show, and they back us 100%, and I am so glad for that. It is a family-friendly dealership, and even their dog, Maverick. I mean, come on. It doesn't get more patriotic than that. They have incredible offers for September. You know, Toyota at Tri-County Toyota, more and more Toyotas right now are made right here in the United States of America. Toyota's making a big investment. Well, it's a perfect time to get inside a new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota. Right now, you can lease a new 2025 Tacoma four-wheel drive double cab SR5 for just $239 a month for 36 months. Or you can buy and get rates as low as 2.99% for 48 months. Or check out a new 2025 RAV4, and you can lease that baby for $289 a month for 36 months, or get 4.75% financing for 60 months. You can visit them online at tricountytoyota.com to see more. Look for the gigantic American flag. It sits between the Chrysler Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Toyota dealerships. You can't miss it. Tri-County Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram and Tri-County Toyota. Close to King of Prussia, Exton, the Main Line, everywhere. Stop over and give a salute and say hello and thank them for sponsoring our show and for being great friends of ours. And a shout out to Sarah Weiss. I know she picked up her new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota. Sarah, that's awesome. Thank you for supporting our friends over there and then supporting our show and what we do here by extension. It means a lot. It means everything, actually. So thank you for that. Remember to get there, and if you do want to drive a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, don't forget, if you buy one of those cars or lease one, you can deduct the interest on your tax deduction now under the One Big Beautiful Bill if that car was made in the United States of America. So just go see them today for all the deals and all the details, and say hello to the General Manager, Jack, and the entire team at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Just go to tricounty.com, tricounty.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty. So again, if you missed it, our big event with Jack Carr coming up October 13th. Our next Politics and Pints, Navy SEAL and international best-selling author Jack Carr. It's going to be on October 13th at the Zlock Performing Arts Center in Bucks County Community College. You want to go to 1210WPHD.com and get your tickets today. All right, and do that today before the event sells out. And it will sell out because Jack is the man. So make sure you do that today, all right? Road Warrior claiming he was right again in predicting Jack Carr. Well, Road Warrior, we never want to doubt you. So there you go, all right? Excellent. So I'm going to retweet that. It is Monday, October 13th. Is that a Monday, October 13th?
It is a Monday, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. For some reason, I thought it was a Friday, the 13th.
Oh, that'd been bad. That'd have been no good.
Yeah. Well, great. Excellent. Tickets are already flying off the shelves. Not that they're on a shelf, but, you know, that's a saying. So, boy, we got to work on that drum roll. Oof. Man.
Also, if you're in our YouTube chat, I pinned the link to the 1210 WPHT website. So if you're looking to purchase tickets to it, you go to the YouTube chat, click the link that's pinned at the very top of the chat, and you can buy your tickets there.
Wonderful. Excellent. Excellent. I see we have some new audio clips. We have Chuck Schumer making one of his very funny, hysterical references again. Boy, Chuck is a riot, huh? Why don't we hear from Senator Chuck Schumer? Ready for a good laugh, everybody? Let's do it.
Well, Mr. President, on Friday, we learned the U.S. economy added only 22,000 jobs for the month of August. A paltry number, an abysmal number, worse than even the already low expectations. Donald Trump has steered our economy straight into an iceberg. And the SS Trump is sinking before our eyes. And I warn.
Ugh. I feel like we should do a womp, womp, womp at the end of that. You know? Like one of those little things.
Probably better than any sound effect we have in the stack for that.
Yeah, definitely. Or just a old fashioned womp, womp. Look, they're talking about Philly's Karen on the 5. She's everywhere. Turns out Matt's girlfriend is not fake after all.
That's not my girlfriend.
Have they identified her for real yet?
No, I think originally they identified someone as her almost immediately, but it turns out that's not the right person.
Yeah. They had said it was a woman who worked at a school district in South Jersey. There were all these different towns that popped up, and this poor woman was identified. She took it with stride, though. But it wasn't her. I don't know. I mean, I do wonder where Elizabeth Warren was the other night. I'm just saying.
They had a similar haircut.
And the glasses. And the similar get in your face and lecture you and tell you what's what.
By the way,
it was basically Elizabeth Warren. What's that?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, so her whole argument was that she had her hand on the ball first and that it was torn from her grasp. But there's now a third angle that's been released. Actually, I'll try to send it to Justin. We can play it. She never had her hand on that ball. She reached for it, but the guy got there first. So she had absolutely no right to this thing whatsoever.
She had no claim to this ball. Now everybody hates her. Everybody hates her. And the kid got a signed bat, which was great, from Bader. That was awesome. He got all kinds of swag from both teams. That was great. And everybody hates her. She's gone into hiding. We may never see this woman again.
Probably for the best.
She got into her Subaru and she drove home, fed her 13 cats, and has not left her house with her sister since. That's the way I see it.
Would you have given her the ball?
Like the dad did? Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe at that moment, her voice was shrieking like Elizabeth Warren's in such a degree, and the voice was so high that he thought it was going to burst his kid's eardrums. That's what I think happened.
I see a lot of people online saying, oh, I would have never given her that ball. But I kind of sympathize with the dad. He's at a baseball game trying to enjoy himself with his family. And this woman walks over to him and starts yelling. And you just give her the ball. She goes away and you can enjoy the rest of your evening. Because she definitely strikes me as the type of person that wasn't just going to, like, walk away and that would be the end of it. Mm-hmm. She would have harassed them for the rest of the night.
She would have kept nagging that guy for the rest of the night, and eventually it would have just gotten ugly. And he saved himself a lot of time, and he did. I think it probably would have been the only move to make in that moment. Otherwise, he would have wound up getting ejected or something.
Yeah, even after he gave her the ball back, she got into the face of some other fan, like, further down in the section, and she was, like, about 2 inches away from his face, just yelling at the guy, because I guess he booed her when he figured out what had happened.
Every time I think of that woman yelling at somebody, all I hear is Elizabeth Warren's voice in my head. Well, you know, I reach for the ball first. Another lunatic, Jasmine Crockett. She has now declared what she believes the use of the police are for. Let's take a listen.
I want to be clear that, like, law enforcement isn't to prevent crime. Law enforcement solves crime, okay? That is what they are supposed to do. They are supposed to solve crimes, not necessarily prevent them from happening, per se.
They're also there to prevent crimes because people tend to not commit them when there's a cop there. So there's also that. We have the other Karen cam. This is now the third vantage point.
Yeah, we have the original one, too, in case people haven't seen it. Or,
I mean, at this
or
point,
if you want to just relive
I think
the
it's,
magic.
It's been viewed more than the Zapruder film at this point. I don't know who has not seen this of Philly Karen. But sure, let's do the original and then we'll do the other vantage point. Most hated woman in America. The fact she puts her hands on him. I mean, that's the thing. She puts her hands on the guy. She comes over and puts her hand. Then she walks back with that arrogant, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oof. Now, this second part to that same clip, cut 20, we'll get some audio. You'll actually hear what she says to the guy.
Okay, great.
Giving the son a gift bag for having to give up the ball.
And then the other vantage point now clearly shows that she did not have possession of the ball. She reached for it, but she didn't have possession of it, right?
Exactly, yeah. Because you heard in that clip, she said, it was in my hand and you grabbed it. And this third angle, which I think just got released earlier today, the first time I saw it was earlier today, it shows she never had possession of this thing.
Man, she was rocking the Indigo Girls CD in her Subaru on the way home, thinking she had won the day, huh?
I like that the Marlins attendant was like, "Oh yeah, you don't have to give this to her. This is all yours." When she handed him the little prize pack that they gave him,
that was great. That was great. Everybody is united in the fact that this woman sucks. She is the worst. All right, can play vantage number 3 here. Are you doing it?
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. It's clearly obvious right there. All right. Well, at some point, her identity will be revealed, and we'll find out she works as a community organizer. And that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. For 12 years in a row, Dr. Mike has been recognized by his peers as a master of complex dentistry. Schedule your free implant consultation today at 856-786-2020 or VenariaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. I think we also have another clip, right? Yes. Fox News on the ground in Chicago as the surge has begun. Take a listen.
So the surge has begun. You can see the new ICE vehicles on the streets here in Chicago. We're just outside the Cook County Courthouse, but that surge is part of the ICE-led Operation Midway Blitz that they say is in honor of a beautiful young Chicago woman, Katie Abraham, who was killed by an illegal alien drunk driver back in January of this year. And while we are getting reaction from Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, who says that this blitz won't make Chicagoans safer, let me show you this video. Early this morning, I was out with one of ICE's teams, and we arrested this individual. His name is Juan Gaspar, and he is a 43-year-old illegal alien from Mexico. He has been convicted in 2024 of forcibly sexually assaulting a child under the age of 13. He was taken, as you can see here, without incident, but this is all part of the exact sort of violent criminal illegal alien that the ICE operations hope to bring in, apprehend, and ultimately deport. We were riding along with ICE's deputy director, Madison Sheehan. She talked a little bit about this operation to us, as well as what she has to say to the Democrats that are criticizing it. Listen.
This is an opportunity for us to go into sanctuary cities and work against these sanctuary city policies and not let them deter ICE from being able to do our work, to go after the worst of the worst, just like the guy behind me who committed sexual assault against a minor. I mean, these criminal aliens have wreaked havoc on the American people for years, and that time is over. And even when we have pushback from Democrat leadership, that's not going to stop us. We're going to continue to go after the worst of the worst, just like somebody who committed sexual assault against a minor.
And this is just day one, Martha. We understand this could go on for weeks as they surge more ICE personnel as well as federal law enforcement partners. Martha?
Well, there you go. And it's what Tom Homan said earlier in the show, and I played the clip, but it's worth playing again. What we're doing here is we're trying to go after crime. All right? We're trying to go after crime. But that's also why the president said that we're not going to war with Chicago, even though he put out that meme. But we're not going after we're not declaring war in a city. We're going after criminals here. So here's this is cut number nine, Tom Homan, and what it means to go to war. We're going to war with the cartels. We're going to war with the people who are the gangs and all the people that are threatening the life and property of the people of Chicago. And look, I've said it before. I'll say it again. Mayor of Chicago, governor of Illinois should take the president up on his offer to send in the National Guard and free up the Chicago police to be able to, as Jasmine Crockett said, solve crimes. And yeah, also prevent them by having a presence. Part of the reality is that community policing works. Cops on the street works, but they don't have enough cops. Because in all these major cities, nobody wants to be a cop because the recruitment numbers are down because of these woke prosecutors, and they know the city doesn't have their back. So they all have shortages. There's those staffing shortages in every department. There's financial shortages in every department. Here's Tom Homan, the border czar, cut number nine.
Post, he wrote, quote, "The president of the United States is threatening to go to war within an American city. This is not a joke. This is not normal. Donald Trump isn't a strong man. He's a scared man. Illinois won't be intimidated by a wannabe dictator," unquote. Is President Trump planning to go to war in Chicago?
Look, I think it's worth being taken out of context. If I said we're going to war with the criminal cartels. We're going to war with illegal aliens, public safety threats that rape children, that raped citizens, that committed armed robberies, that distribute narcotics that kill Americans. We're at war with the criminal cartels, and Governor Pritzker protects criminal, illegal alien public safety threats every day in that state, along with Mayor Johnson. We proved that. The first week of the administration, I went to Chicago. I started an operation there. The first day, we arrested 9 sexual predators, most of them child rapists. We arrested 9 members of TDA. Several of those TDA members had a pistol, an illegal pistol with a switch on it, which makes that pistol fully automatic. We arrested 2 illegal aliens that had a homicide conviction. That was the first day in Chicago. So, you know, President Trump and his administration, yeah, we're at war with the criminal cartels and those who want to murder and rape the American citizens. You're damn right. So,
well, there you go. And the president's point about this is that he wants to help, but he's waiting for Chicago to ask. I just don't think they will. I just don't think they will ask. But you ask the people on the streets and they want the help. That's the bottom line. And that's the reality of the situation. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Still got a whole other hour to go. But again, just a reminder, our Politics and Pints, Jack Carr, Monday, October 13th, Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College. Get your tickets now by going to 1210WPHC.com. I'm hosting Jack that night. It's going to be a great night. I want to see you there. This event will sell out. All of Jack Carr's events do. And when the tickets are gone, they're gone. Plus, he also has his whole litany of fans that are separate from this show that are going to be scrambling to get tickets when Jack comes to the Philadelphia area. So make sure you get them now before they snatch them all up, all right? Because Jack's going to post this on his website as well, and an alert will go out to all of Jack's fans. So make sure you get them first by going to 1210WPHC.com. It is the Cry Havoc Tour, next in the step, next in the line of the James Reese saga. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.